As many of us know, we are going through some minor prophets for the summer. And so we've been looking at Jonah. I think, can you? Oh, did good. We've been looking at Jonah. And so we're looking at Jonah, and we went through Haggai or Haggai, depending on which pastor was preaching that Sunday. And now we're looking at Jonah. And I know a lot of times we look at Jonah and we understand Jonah in a certain way. A lot of times we look at it as this prophet that seemed to be just mean or evil or just not doing right, right? And this funny thing is that depending on your religion, you have a different understanding of who Jonah is. The Jewish people see Jonah as their brother, as part of their family. They understand Jonah. And we're going to understand that maybe in chapter 4 about why they understand Jonah and the plight, and they felt like God was being unreasonable and Jonah was right. Other people think it's a book just about evangelism, and while there's evangelism in it, it's more weighty than that. You know, Jonah, just like the people of Israel, are God's people. And the thing about God's people is very interesting. It's like God's going to use them. He says, I'm going to use you to show the world who I am. I liken it to, like, if you were a child, at one point you were a child, and let's say you were in a classroom with your parent, and your parent was teaching that class. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. But a lot of times the parent will make you the example for the whole class about what the expectations are. I remember my mom, she had her dad, my grandfather, as her teacher, and she was like, man, he was extra hard on me because I'm going to make you the example for the whole class to understand. And they'll say, if he's like that with her, what's he going to be like for us? To see his grace, but also when they do wrong, to see the understanding that there's vengeance in this as well. There are some consequences to your action. And so while it's beautiful being the child, it's also hard many times because you are the example, but there's love there. And so we're coming here. So if we think about Jonah in that sense, then we can think about Israel in that sense. And sometimes it can be hard. Maybe we can understand Jonah a little bit more as we get into it. So we're coming into chapter 2. But just to do a recap of chapter 1, we see something going on. And we've heard this, many of us have heard this story many times, but in chapter 1, we see God called Jonah to prophesy to Nineveh. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. And so we see that God calls Jonah, then Jonah runs, right? We see that Jonah runs, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so we see this rebellion from Jonah. We're going to find out more about that rebellion, like I said, in chapter 4. We'll hear a little bit more about why he's doing that. But he's running from God, going that very opposite direction where God wants him to go. And we see that in chapter 1, that Jonah's rebellion is not just physical, but it's mental, emotional, and physical. Mentally, we see it where he says, in verse 9, it says, and he said to them, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. When everyone was worried about the storm taking over the ship, they said, well, Jonah, who are you? They tried to remind him who he was. Who are you? And in the midst of it, he says, yeah, I'm a Hebrew, I worship the God that made the heavens and the earth and the sea. But at that moment, he didn't connect with it. While he was able to say it, mentally, he wasn't there. He didn't care about that. Emotionally, we see that he was running because he was sleeping when he should have been awake. He was emotionally detached, and then he got so frustrated, so burdened down, he was like, just throw me over, kill me. He didn't care about his own life, kill me. Emotionally, he was spiraling out of control. Mentally, he was spiraling out of control, and physically, he was spiraling out of control. And this doesn't show it all, but it says, physically, the understanding that he went down to Joppa to get onto a boat. Then it says, but Jonah then went down. If you look at it, he also went down into the boat, right? Trying to get further and further away from God, constantly going down. And then finally, they throw him over, and I'm going to let you know, he did not float in that water. He went down. Some people said, understanding the way the terminology, he went down head first. And so, you know, if you go down feet first, sometimes you come back up. But if you go down head first, a lot of times you go straight down. So he's going down. He's trying to get away from God. I don't know if any of you have ever felt this before, this spiraling where mentally, physically, emotionally, you have nothing left. Many people believe he is depressed. He's depressed about what he's been called to do that he does not want to do. He's depressed because he doesn't feel this understanding of God. He's depressed. That's where Jonah may be. That's where he is. This is where people are sometimes when they feel like, I can't do anything left. I have nothing left. I don't like this world. I'm done. He is depressed, trying to get away from God, trying to get as far away as he can. And so that's who he is. And so we find in the end of chapter 1 that he finds himself in the belly of a great fish, or God calls a great fish to come and swallow him up. And really, sometimes that verse is actually brought into chapter 2 in some of the Hebrew Bibles, that last verse comes into chapter 2 to start a whole new understanding. But we find that at that moment where he's deeply depressed, mentally, emotionally, physically, and going down, something happens there. In chapter 2, I think we always think it's just like a prayer from Jonah. Something happens there that we're going to look at today. I believe that he meets God and he experiences God's grace for Jonah. And so let's go and read chapter 2, starting in what is considered in our Bibles, chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm looking at the ESV version. There's a reason why I'm looking at the ESV version. I'm going to explain to you in just a second. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. While he's down there, you see God restores him mentally. I want us to understand this one thing, that first, just read my ESV, because that first word in chapter 2, then, that should tell you something. He wasn't talking to God. You didn't see him talking to God in the first chapter at all. You see God giving him a command to go, and all you hear is him running. You never hear him praying to God the whole chapter 1. When all the other people on the ship are praying to their gods and they ask him to come pray, do we hear him pray? No. He doesn't talk to God at all. He's in this emotional, he's in this depression, he's in all this, and he's not going to talk to God. We don't hear him talking to God. One big thing I think that can help us is when we allow ourselves to talk to God. Get back in communication. He understood who God was, but he ain't talking to him because he was mad. He ain't want to talk to him. First step we see here is that then he prayed. Then in his distress, he started talking to God. He called out to God. In verse 4, it says, "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." So some people believe that when he did this, he was already in the well, so he already dealt with the understanding of maybe dying and now felt a sense of security. But he says, it was then when his mind came back, as he's in the well, as he in the great fish, his mind comes back to him. He says, then he understands that he was driven away from his sight. He realized how far he was from God. Part of his depression, he realized, is because I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not connected with God. Not only that, you see, he says, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The understanding, when you're in the temple and you go back to the temple, you're not just connected with God, but you're connected with the people again. Not only was he away from God, but he was also away from his people. From the people of God, the purpose of God. He realized how far away he was. Jonah was a prophet. God spoke to Jonah and told him what to say. He wasn't a false prophet. God was telling him what to do. He was connected, at least at some point, with God. He realized then how far he was mentally. It started snapping back for him. I'm far from God. While he was in the depths of his depression, God gave him a sense of solace so he can understand again who God was. While he was in this depression, this depressed state, he saw God. And then it goes in a very interesting set of writings in verses 5-7. It goes into like what they call, maybe some people believe the whole thing is like a psalm. And you hear, the waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land. Those bars closed upon me forever. Yet you bought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. So you have this understanding. A lot of people, when they read this, they say, this kind of shows that they believe that Jonah actually died. The understanding of the seaweed wrapped around him, going to the depths, going to the bottom of the mountains, where the mountains, the roots of the mountains, the understanding that Sheol, the death, you know, was around him. He was unable to get out. Some people believe that Jonah actually died. And so when Jesus comes later in Matthew and he talks about the only miracle I will do, the sinful people of that day look for something special to see. There will be nothing special to see but the powerful work of the earlier preacher Jonah. This is Jesus in Matthew 12, 39 through 40. And in 40 says, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the stomach of a big fish. The Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave also. So this understanding, many people think that Jonah died. And it was in this death that God spoke and dealt with him and brought him back. But it's also interesting that he uses in this prayer, and a lot of it, if you go through Jonah chapter 2, you'll see a lot of references to other psalms. So he knew the psalms. You'll see a lot of references to other psalms, but it's interesting with this one. In Psalms 18:4-6, David wrote, "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." And so you can see that he's using some of these psalms, his understanding of these psalms, in the midst of not knowing what to say, maybe, he is using these psalms. But the very interesting thing, before we start to think that Jonah is overly repentant, right? Let's see what this says. When David was saying this, David's saying, look, Saul is trying to kill me. Not because David did anything wrong, but because Saul was out to kill him. Jonah is saying this after he did things to go away from God. Jonah still doesn't think that he has done something wrong. He believes that something has happened to him. And I want you guys to understand this, because this helps us understand, I think, what the main focus of this chapter becomes. It's not Jonah's repentance. We're going to get to it in a second, what the main focus is. But I want you guys to hear that. Jonah uses psalms where other people, in other parts of the psalms, where people are repentant, and a lot of times and come back, he uses it as an understanding of what has happened to him. And then we go to his emotional restoration. Those who pay regard and vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Jonah's at a point where, when he's down there and he sees and he calls out to God and God rescues him, he sees something. He sees God's love. And not his love for everybody else. Not his love for the people of Nineveh. Not his love for the people on the boat. Not his love for people in Joppa, Tarshish, wherever. God's love for him. When he called out to God, God was there. When he asked God, God came down and put him in a place that allowed him to think, to breathe, to come back. God loved him. That parent who's your teacher, who's making you be an example for everybody, when you get a sense to feel that teacher, that parent's love, you'd be like, oh, but he still or she still loves me. And that's not about whether he's repentant, because I'm still not quite sure he's repentant. What he's saying here is, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. He said, when we look to other idols and other kind of things, when we look to go to other things, we miss out on the love that God just showed me. When I was far from him, he was still there. The love that when I was dead, he loved me regardless of where I was. That's what it was. He was restored emotionally because he understood God loved him. And that meant something to him. It means something all in the Old Testament, where Israel is in this whole cycle of them being with God and them doing something wrong, and then God's grace coming over them and them being freed, them understanding God still loves me. His commitment to Jonah did not change. He still loved Jonah. Jonah sees and is overwhelmed with God's commitment and love to him in particular, particularly, or however you want to say it. You know, it reminds me, I'm not sure if you guys ever experienced this, and I know I've told this story many times before, but for me, it was when I was, I would say my BC days, my before Christ days, or when I was starting to understand who he was. And I had an apartment. It was at the bottom of a house, and it was a decent apartment. I liked it, and I would go, and I was working at Xavier, and I was working overnight, and I was getting frustrated about working overnight because it was just long hours, and it didn't feel like anything was happening, and I didn't think I was growing or even getting any more money. I needed more money. All of a sudden, my lights would get turned off in my house. I didn't understand what was going on. I couldn't pay the electric bill. I was able to pay the rent, but I couldn't pay the electric bill. And so things just, they were just piling on. I didn't understand what was going on. And then one day, overnight, I was sitting in Xavier at the dormitory, and God hit me. He was like, Dwayne. And I know I told you this story before, and I'm gonna keep on telling you this story, because this is when he met me. This is when I realized that love. He said, Dwayne, why are you frustrated? Don't you see? You have no electricity, and it's mainly your fault. Because you keep on spending your money at the club on Friday night. Thinking it's like the best thing, like an ATM. You spending your money, if you don't have enough money for lights in your house, but I have you at Xavier at nighttime with lights all around you. And when you go home, it's daytime at your house, and I ain't shut off the gas. You can still cook and feed yourself during the day. In the midst of you not knowing what's going on, I have still been protecting you. Why are you frustrated? I don't want you working during the day, because if you work during the day, you'd be without lights at night. I've provided for you. I saw that he loved me. And what that does, when Jonah experiences that, when I experience that, I'm sure when you have experienced that, it does something. It makes you want to respond. So when we read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He says, it's not because I understand what you want me to do. I'm not okay with Nineveh. I'm not okay with any of these things, but I've seen your love for me. And I'm going to respond to that. When I was at Xavier, I didn't understand. I still didn't like Christians. I didn't like Christians. I didn't like the church necessarily. I didn't like any of those things, but I knew he loved me. And I can respond to that. You see, this whole chapter is not about Jonah. It's about God and how God shows his love. It ain't about whether Jonah was going to be repentant or not. God was still going to be there. This is about God's love. And when you experience God's love, it calls you to respond. Have you experienced that love for you? Not about what he wants you to do for everybody else, but he wants you to know he loves you. While you're in your grave that you probably allowed yourself, put yourself in, he still loves you. And he wants you to know that. And he calls for your response. He calls you to share your testimony. When you realize that he loves you. He loves you. And so it calls for a response. But he's not done. He has a physical restoration. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. He said, all right, I heard what you said. Salvation comes from the Lord. You want to preach this. Now I'm going to give you your physical body and your ability to do it. I'm going to put you back on dry land. And I always, this is what's interesting, and we'll get to chapter 3 with this. For whatever reason, every time I read this when I was younger, and probably up until last week, I always thought that the fish vomited Jonah at Nineveh. Nope. He was going to go back to the temple. He's going to go back to the temple and to praise God and to let people know God saved me. So Jonah was doing that. That fish vomited Jonah, people believe, right back to where this whole thing started. at the beginning of chapter one. He can go and tell the people in the temple what God had done. But there's also going to be another call in chapter three, right back where you started. Now that you've experienced my love, how's that going to change your response to my call? Jonah still doesn't believe that what God wants him to do is good, but he believes that God is good. Sometimes God's going to call us into something that we may not believe is good, but our understanding should be that God is good. And I can trust the God who loves me and who met me when I was dead, who met me in the depth. And I can do what he's called me to do. Now, what are you going to do? Go back real quick. I've tried to find this. I know there's a whole bunch of songs with this actual phrase in it. But there's one I cannot find. I remember hearing it as a kid, and you picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I know that's what he did. He placed you on solid ground. Now go and respond with your life with that. This isn't just about Jonah. What is your response to God's restorative love for you? That's the question. And if you haven't felt it, I ask you, first, talk to him. Stop running, pray, and talk to him. And he will restore you. He will meet you where you are, in the hardest parts of your life. He will meet you. He will show you his love. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to respond. When you feel it, I want you to know, I want you to be reminded that he loves you. And he's committed to you. Take that truth and allow that truth to propel you when he calls you into places that you don't think you should be. The calling may not seem good, but God is. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come before you. For many of us, thank you for that time when you reminded us that you loved us. Father God, I pray that you would take us back to that point each and every moment, that we would remember that you loved us. And it would build up, it would swell in us the courage to trust you in your calling on our lives. We come just as Jonah, thankful, with thankful hearts, ready to proclaim salvation comes from the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We give you all honor and glory. We state these things in Jesus' name as we all say, amen.